We are rolling.
Live? Okay. So, start the meeting. It is 6:38 p.m., Monday, February 6, 2017. Could we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Brendan Sullivan Savagnana.
Present.
Christopher Griffiths.
Present.
Milt Friedman.
Here.
Tina Landis.
Here.
Do we have any agenda changes?
No agenda changes.
Do we have any staff announcements?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a few announcements. So first, just wanted to say welcome to everybody. Then just wanted to let everyone know that there will be a meeting held on Wednesday, the 22nd of February, which will be a special meeting. I also wanted to let everyone know in the audience that there's an agenda packet for this evening. That packet is available online at our website, alamedaeventprogram.org. And there's also a hard copy in the back of the room. And just so everyone can know, whatever is in the agenda packet is what is provided to the committee members. There's details about the unit, about any forms or comments submitted by either party. I also wanted to let everyone know there's opportunity for public comment tonight. However, there's specific procedures to make that public comment. So please see staff in the back. There are slips that need to be filled out, and there's opportunity to make public comment on agenda items and non-agenda items. So we just want to make sure it gets posted in the right spot. So you can see with everyone in the back. Then I just also wanted to move into what will be reviewed tonight, and just wanted to acknowledge that the conversations tonight will probably be personal, and just in that sense, we wanted to make sure everyone understood the meeting tonight is here to listen to both perspectives and to give time and opportunity for both parties to hear from each other. And in that sense, we want to encourage that there aren't any interruptions made when somebody's speaking. However, on that effect, staff may jump in if the conversation just gets out of the scope of what the committee can review tonight. And then also wanted to remind everyone that the committee is not a court of law. These are volunteers that live in the city of Alameda. And they're here tonight to listen to both sides and review the rent increase. And then just to give a little bit of a picture of what tonight will look like, each case is limited in time to a maximum of 40 minutes. The committee has already reviewed the materials that were provided in the agenda. And the proceedings will be that the tenant will be given an opportunity to speak for about 5 minutes, then the landlord will be given an opportunity to speak about 5 minutes, and then the committee members will shift into sort of mediation, asking questions, trying to understand more of what has been going on for both parties. That's all of my announcements, and we can move them into the next item.
Okay, thank you. Now it's time for if anyone has public comment on a non-agenda item.
So I don't have any public comment cards for non-agenda items.
Okay.
So we can move to the next one.
No? Okay. And we're going to move on to approval of the previous minutes. Consent calendar. Mm-hmm. We've got two on here this time. The January 11th one, which ended pretty quick. And then the January 12th one. So we move first for the, to make a motion to approve the minutes for January 11th.
I second.
Okay, I was the one, Brendan, who motioned. Tina seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone? Okay. And 5B, approval of the minutes of the January 12th special meeting. All right. Again, make a motion to approve the minutes.
I second. Milt Friedman.
Seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do we have any unfinished business?
No unfinished.
No unfinished business. And new business, vacations?
Yes, so I have just this one.
Okay.
I can give a summary, and then you can call up the party.
Sure.
Okay, so this is a review for the unit at 2007 Lincoln Avenue. The mission number is 502. The status of this unit under the ordinance is considered a non-exempt unit. The rent increase requested by the landlord is equal to or less than 5%, so the decision by the party will remain advisory only. The current rent is $1,100, and the unit is a one-bedroom. The rent includes gas, water, and garbage. The rent increase offered to the tenant is $55, which is exactly 5%. And it became effective in December 2016, so it is already in effect. And the past rent increase was in December of 2015, and it was $50, equal to 4.8%. So I just wanted to bring up some other items on this rent increase. The original review was scheduled for December 5th, and the meeting has been postponed until this date. The initial rent increase notice did not have the required options to send it for a one-year lease as an option, but the landlord has then secured the sufficiency by inviting the option for the tenant to have a one-year lease if they would like that. Also, the tenant is not present today. She requested and was approved for a reasonable accommodation and requested that she have advocate attend on her behalf. So we will have advocates. I think they'll be able to provide their names, but my understanding is they are part of the Alameda Renters Coalition, and they'll be here to represent the tenant. The tenant stated that she is challenging the rent increase, and that no other decisions are authorized. And then also wanted to acknowledge that this case raised additional issues outside of just the amount of the rent increase. I mean, the tenant raised claims of retaliation. Just to clarify, the committee does not review retaliation claims. Rather, this matter was referred to the city attorney's office, and the retaliation matter will be reviewed by their office, and they will take action accordingly. So today, the only matter considered by the committee will be the amount of rent increase. We received a written response from the tenant. And the tenant stated that she considered the reasonable maximum increase would be $25. She stated that she is on a fixed low income and would not be able to afford 5%. Also, the tenant noted that she has not seen additional amenities that she feels would warrant a rent increase. The landlord stated that the rent increase is due to the fact that the building runs on a general operating loss, and the unit is currently landlord stated below market rate. Also, the landlord stated the rent increase is related to the intent to create a reserve fund for unforeseen future costs. So, if you want to move into inviting both parties to join,
sure. If the both the landlord and the advocates could come up to the table, please.
The landlord's on that side.
Or whoever you feel comfortable is fine. We're always changing it up, so sit where you like.
Before the music stops.
Oh, I see. I didn't see the signs.
If you could both state your names.
Sure. Hi, I'm Heather Reed here on behalf of Sia Salu.
And I'm Eric Strimling on behalf of Sia Salu.
And then I think we wanted to just first confirm the role of that.
Sure. Could you just confirm those questions to whether you are authorized to accept or negotiate an agreement for SIA, or if you're here just in a different capacity?
So because this is a disability request that we are here in her stead, She prefers that we not be the final answer on these issues, but she has authorized us to negotiate on her behalf. Is that correct?
She has expressed to me that she would like the committee to make a ruling on this case, and that further mediation isn't really her desire or intent.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Just to confirm and repeat what I think I heard. You're here to advocate for her and communicate her position, but she seeks a ruling from us, and you're not necessarily here to come to a pre-ruling agreement.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Does everyone get that?
I've got that. I understand.
Sorry. Did you as well?
Somewhat.
Since we have somebody from the city attorney's office here, I was wondering if you could comment on the fact that the tenant is not present for the meeting.
Michael Roush from the city attorney's office here in Alameda. The fact that the tenant is not here is, as long as there is a representative from who's authorized by the tenant to attend, and in light of the fact that the tenant did request reasonable accommodation and that was granted, and as part of that grant, the tenant can have advocates here. What I've heard is that while the tenant is not necessarily interested in negotiating anything, that the tenant has simply requested a decision from this committee. It seems to me that the advocates have stated that position, and certainly I think are open to listening to the committee with respect to if the committee has any thoughts about a rent increase different than what the landlord has indicated. But my sense of it is that the advocates are not authorized to accept that on behalf of the tenant.
I think that's correct.
Okay. She is prepared to accept the $25, so that is her.
Okay, so there is some there is some compromise that's been authorized in the advocates.
Correct.
For example, if Mr. Galletto were to say $25 is fine,
that is correct.
You have been authorized to accept that on behalf of the tenant, correct?
Yes.
All right.
You know, I'm very sympathetic to the tenant in this case, you know, to somebody who has a disability and is asking for some accommodation. However, I think that I know that the requirement for the landlord is that when a landlord has somebody that is not an owner who is present, that person is required to have the authority to agree to the terms that are reached. And it seems to me that this situation is an imbalance in those requirements because we're not asking for the same requirement for the tenant. My concern is not in this particular case, but my concern is that then the landlords might come back and say, you know, you aren't requiring this for the tenants. Why do we have to provide somebody who can come to an agreement? And that sort of, that whole thing makes the whole process sort of degrade.
Two issues. With respect to at the proceedings in front of the committee, when the tenant has made the request, under the ordinance, a person with an ownership interest in the rental property does not have to attend. It's simply someone who has authority to bind the landlord. So, for example, if there was a property manager, let's say there was a 5% rent increase, property manager could come to the committee meeting and with the authority to bind the person. The current ordinance is silent with respect to sort of a reciprocal situation with respect to tenants. I can tell you that as part of the revisions that the staff is looking at to take before the council in the spring, that would be one of the items that we would suggest to council to consider so that there would be sort of parity between the landlord and the tenant. Notwithstanding that, I have heard the advocate say that they do have the authority to bind the tenant so long as the the magic number is reached, and the magic number is not reached, then they don't have that authority. But you know, that would also be true about the landlord as well.
Right. All right. Okay. Okay. So as far as your the opinion is basically that what we're doing here is fine under the ordinance.
That is correct.
And our decision would, if there's no agreement between the landlord and the tenant, and the committee then reaches an agreement, that agreement is still binding as it would be otherwise. Is that right?
No, that is not correct, because the rent increase is 5% or less.
Okay.
Whatever.
I see. So there is no.
Assuming that you would reach a consensus or a decision that is less than what the landlord has requested,
okay.
The landlord is not bound by that.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that.
So before we jump in to the hard work, I just first of all, thanks for everyone for coming. I know that this has been on the agenda before, so I appreciate your patience. And so with that in mind, and because of kind of the unique circumstance of this, before we get started, I want to reemphasize kind of the limited role that the RAC has. Mm-hmm. So we're going to, as best as possible, stick to the issues that we could make an informed decision about. I know there's been a lot of issues that don't really that we can't really have a say in. So if I bring you back to that, like what we're here for, don't take any offense. I'm just making sure that we stay on track about what we as committee members can decide. So with that, we always start with the tenants first. So we've already read through this information before, okay. But if you feel that there's something that you want to distill or something was left out, please take 5 minutes and let us know.
I'll keep track of time.
Okay, great.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
All right, so I think I'd like to open with that while here in this place, we're not really open to negotiation and mediation, Ms. Salu has been continuously along this process. She cites three different opportunities that were asked for with Echo Housing, with I think with Jennifer, and with your name just dropped.
Jeff Cambra.
Excuse me. I'm very sorry.
What's his name?
I'm very sorry. And has been rebuffed on these attempts. And I'd also just like to bring up that in her initial application for this review, she asks for mediation, and she goes out of her way to say, my landlord has been responsive to maintenance requests and is a good guy in general. I simply cannot afford the yearly increases without an uptick in amenities. That's where we started. And you guys have the whole packet of what's happened in between. And it's devastating. And in my mind, tragic. And it's too bad that we're here right now because of a failure to negotiate, perhaps, and perhaps because of just too set in a position. I just wanted to modify what's been talked about in terms of a hard position or a non-negotiation. That's today. But it hasn't been straight through. So what do you want to add to that?
I think just, first of all, thank you for hearing us on this unique occasion. I think that the tenant's general willingness to provide some sort of increase is respective of the fact that she's trying to work with the landlord. I got a chance to view the unit today, and I'm curious to see where the numbers are coming from to warrant such an increase. I understand that people say, well, it's not market rate, and I understand that as running a business, as a business owner myself, that there's an issue of fairness, and we want to see things. Everyone wants their piece of the pie, which is understandable. However, I think especially with the unique situation of the tenant, with her disability, with her fixed income, with the fact that she has been willing to make accommodations and work with the landlord in the past with maintenance issues and be available and have the unit available. And there's some pest vector issues that she has been very flexible with and brought to the right people's attention and, you know, sought to rectify the situations as a good tenant should, instead of letting it get worse. I think the reasonable accommodation has been made on her part, and the fact that she is willing to bump it up a significant amount in with her lifestyle, not to the full 5%, but I think a reasonable accommodation of the $25 is fair, especially after seeing the unit myself for the first time today. In my opinion, I think it's more than fair, and I'm really hoping we can work out something today just to kind of get this over with, because this has been dragging on for a while, and hopefully we can get to a clean resolution. So thank you guys for all hearing her.
You still have another minute and a half. What if you guys, if there's anything else you want to say?
It's just, we are dealing with a severely disabled person who is ill. The income limits really are very real. We may or may not be going over the landlord's requirements for income, and what he is representing as being the costs. We'd dispute that.
One more thing. I mean, I'd heard when you were opening that the unit runs an operating loss, and that the increase was to essentially have a rainy day fund, and I'm not sure that that is the tenant's responsibility to make sure the landlord has those provisions. I'm not sure if that's under, that's my personal opinion. Thanks.
All right,
thanks so much.
All right, let's take a little. So, can I get the official package that you guys looked at? I just got an agenda.
Sure,
it's my favorite. The documents that I provided her.
Yeah, next one.
You can take my copy.
Yeah, mine has notes all over.
Yeah, mine's got some notes too, so I don't know. I'll show you that.
Okay, beginning of all of the cases, and then this is the agenda packet with all of the materials.
And that's the material that you're reviewing.
And just for your information, we have your income tax, a spreadsheet that you analyze your costs, and we have some comments.
So this is everyone's or just mine?
You can have it. It was the one. Oh, everybody has it. It's available in the back.
But it's all the cases.
We can start on
the first part, right?
Yeah. So that's yours right there. Yes. And then after that, it goes to other cases. So you can
see where the back is and I'll go forward.
Yeah. Actually,
this slip is there. Stand right there.
This is the one. Before that one.
So it's right after. That's it.
Yep. Okay. This is the end of the
room. And I guess I can put it just here and there.
You can unclip.
Yeah.
Work with it.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to do it.
Let me know when you're ready to get started.
Okay.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know that you have sent over the rent increase copy from last year. That we sent that over after the agenda was published, so it was provided separately outside of that.
Yeah.
So
okay. That was page one of the agreement.
Page one from last year.
Actually, from when she moved in.
Okay.
2015.
Yeah.
Because it hadn't changed since then.
Because we're in 2017.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's my?
Okay. Well, I don't have much to add other than the information that you have.
You're welcome.
The situation, as it was explained, was a couple of years back I went through refinance. And the reason why I wanted to go through refinance was there was a balloon payment, so the payments were going to go up. And in order to get a refinance, part of the criteria that the banks use is they determine if there are market rates, rents, if the building's making money. So the building isn't making money. So my initial mortgage amount went up, and I had to do a supplemental just to bring the amount down, which is why on the tax return you see two separate mortgage interests.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to the raising of the vector issue, that has been taken care of. With regards to the retaliation issue, a letter from Michael said it's been resolved, so there's no findings for retaliation. As far as the rent increase goes, I have very limited flexibility. And with regards to the rainy day fund, it's not a rainy day fund. In order to pay for projects, you've got to have money to pay for it. And the money's got to come from somewhere. So typically it comes from the operating income of the rental property. So hers is not the only unit losing money. The unit above hers, who also went through the increase, is in worse condition than hers. I was actually contacted by them, and I met with them and spoke with them. They were the only one of the two, her unit and their unit, that contacted me. CNN ever contacted me to discuss it, as I had requested in the initial increase. I told her, if you had any questions, please let me know. I was out on the property to deal with the rodent issue and a refrigerator replacement in person, and she never talked to me about the rent increase. It was the day that she actually went and submitted the request for a hearing. So I've repeatedly requested, because I want to give people full consideration, information related to her not being able to pay for it. And like I would do for a rental application for a new tenant, I would go in, verify the information, compare what she says she's making based on document and verified information, and then compare it with the increase I have to put forward. If I had that before today, we probably would have negotiations. We never received it after multiple requests through Jennifer, the request that she provided, and it never showed up to date. So as it stands now, the increase that I've submitted is the increase that I'm going to stay with.
I'm sorry, I think I didn't hear you. You said you requested financial information so that...
Well, I requested verification information, typical information that you would do for an application to rent an apartment out, so that I can verify that, I was a renter one time, and I may have said things that maybe weren't actual truth when I applied for a unit, so I like to go in and verify. I trust people, but I have to verify what they're telling me. If I have that information, went through it, and it was verifiable, and it was justifiable to reduce it down, I would be more than happy to reduce it.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Let me just summarize with folks first to make sure that we heard everyone correctly. So, if I understand the tenant's position, and please correct me if I'm wrong, which is why I will repeat this. It's that the financial hardship of the 5% increase is too much for her to bear. So she's on a limited income, and her personal circumstances make the $50 not possible from her standpoint.
$55,
excuse me. and that also she does not feel that the rent increase is justified because of the status of, or the state of the unit. Is that fair?
I think so.
Okay.
Exactly right.
And Mr. Galillo, you're saying that you feel that your rent increase is justified because you're already at an operating loss for the building, or at least for this unit. And since you didn't receive documentation that you could verify from the tenant, that you were unwilling to go to negotiate to a lower percentage increase without that information?
Correct, without consideration of that information.
Okay. But if you had had it, it was a possibility?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Okay. Any other committee members want to ask any clarifying questions before we get started?
Since we don't have, just for clarification, since we don't have a tenant representative that is willing or able to negotiate and has a decision-making power, it's over $25 per month increase, is that where we start? Do we try to the mediation, or do we just go straight into decision-making, or what do we do?
From what I hear, is that there's two firm positions, which we've already read in this packet, and which was just expressed. The tenant has asked that we vote on a decision amongst ourselves, and I didn't hear any other information that we haven't already received. Is there additional documentation that either the folks from that are here for the tenant or Mr. Galletto would like to submit that we don't already have?
I just have a question, just a clarifying question. You said that you'd asked her to provide proof of income?
provide proof that to justify the $25 increase.
And that would have been proof of income?
Like what would have been adequate proof?
Anything associated with a typical rental application.
Okay.
So that's income.
So I have a related question. If you're, was that answered for you? Or?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I have a
specific.
Something that's puzzling to me, and I'd like to clarify, is that the tenant is saying that the tenant was very interested in discussing the terms of the lease mm-hmm. through some form of mediation. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Which is discussing the terms of the lease. And the tenant is saying that the landlord, I understood your description,
yeah.
that the landlord refused to do that. Mm-hmm. Refused to sit, is that right?
On one occasion, I was only contacted by, can you say the names of the housing mesa or?
Echo?
Echo. That's the only one that contacted me.
Okay, so you were contacted by Echo.
Correct. And she was told the same thing, that if she could provide the information in advance of it, uh-huh. then we can negotiate or mediate.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
In I have all the correspondence, and the tenant, according to the tenant, she never received a request from you to provide that proof of income.
It went through Jennifer.
Can we get a clarification of that from staff, please?
Did question for proof of income, was that given, was that request made to the tenant?
Correct.
That's the question.
Yeah. She states that she had not received, again, your name, sorry.
John.
John's request. She said she did not receive that request for the proof of income. The clarifying question I just asked, because just again to make sure I'm hearing you correctly, you said had you received that, you would have made a consideration the 25 would have been fair. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
After the review.
So according to her, she never received that request, and that offer could have been made possibly through mediation, but the mediation never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe Jennifer, you could help us.
Okay, we have had several letters back and forth. I would have to look at the letters to see exactly what it said.
So you can't. So you're not clear on whether John asked for this proof of income.
Well, I would have to. I don't feel comfortable saying it right now without looking at what was actually.
Okay. Well, according to the tenant, it wasn't received. So I'll say. Because I understand your point. I mean, that would be fair.
Well, it sounds like you were asking for some information before you sat down with the mediator. Is that correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't ask for it during, because I needed to verify it.
Right. Right. Okay. Wanted to clarify that. So it sounds like you were both. I mean, that's what my point is. That it sounds like you were both basically willing to talk about the rental terms, to present your sides together, and then talk about it. It sounds as though there may have been some. I don't understand why that didn't happen. Is basically what I'm saying. And so I'm wondering: is it possible for that to still happen?
For me, it is.
It's.
I mean, I think that would be the ideal thing. You know, we can't do a mediation because the tenant's not here.
Right.
Right.
And it's possible that there's some additional information that you would like to see.
I still have that right for her.
That isn't already in the information
and
here.
And it's in the letters that I sent. I sent to the housing authority.
Okay. So.
To the housing authority, not directly to the tenant.
The last time I communicated with the tenant and the tenant communicated with me was when I was there to deliver the refrigerator.
Okay.
On the 14th of October.
Okay.
And I have not received any communication verbally or in person with her since then.
It sounds like an interested third party could help the two of you to sit down and talk.
Well, I guess the only caveat I would say is that it sounds as though Mr. Galletto is willing to do that if in essence, Selyu is willing to fill out essentially a rental application form, and I guess I haven't heard from her representatives whether or not that's something that she would be willing to do. If she's willing to do that, then it seems like, and it would be given to Mr. Galletto to have a chance to review it, then perhaps the mediation would accomplish something. But if that willingness isn't there, then then I don't think he's willing to sit down.
And you're not able to say on her behalf, correct?
Sure. Here's what I will say. I will say that my concern, as someone who's been through mediation before, I would love it if this could be that thing that they need to proceed. I don't want it to be, well, now I need this, now I need this. I'm not saying that you're going to do that.
No, but specifically.
But if this is, if it's a proof of income and expenses, like you would for any sort of income and expense declaration, then you'd need, my concern as her representative is I don't want any medical information to be used against her in any sort of discriminatory, retaliatory circumstance, because if she's filling out a rental application like for the first time, could he say no? No, never mind, let's not do this. So I'd want it to be, I think she would be happy to do the rental application again, provided that her tenancy is secure and that you can't turn around and say, not that you would, but turn around and say, you know what, this is too much for me, I'd rather rent to someone else. Do you know what I mean? From a legal standpoint, right now there's...
Are you actually in contact with her now?
Yes.
Oh, so is it possible for you just to tell us what the things are that you'd like to know and we can ask her?
She said that she was happy to provide the income and expenses on first business day, which is tomorrow.
Is there anything else that you'd like?
Well, I meant just refer back to that letter that I sent. Everything's spelled out in there.
Oh, I know, but I'm just, in the absence of the letter,
well,
I'm wondering if you could just, is there something else that you could think of?
Just because I don't want this to turn into like, okay, well, all he needs is the income and expenses, and then we go back, and then now we're not here in front of everyone.
And I have to be concerned, I'm very concerned that in the packet of information that you submitted, this request doesn't occur, nor does that list occur.
Because this is after this process.
But as far as this group knows, this is a completely novel request.
And it's
now,
legit.
Months later.
Okay.
To you or to you directly?
I sent a letter to staff regarding interest in verifiable.
Verifiable to the nature of the disability or to the income?
Well, that's why I don't have the exact language, but I just want to say this is not out of thin air. I do remember that this is coming.
Because it's nowhere in the packet, it's nowhere in any of the information.
I just want to make sure that she knew about it.
The reason that it's not included in the packet is because staff was very clear to me anyway that they didn't, that the tenant was extremely sensitive to her information being made public.
And I think that is a huge.
I think
but the request, his request doesn't violate her privacy. His request is his request. Why wouldn't it have made it into the
Well, I think because packet. The other reason is that I don't know where the line is between is this public information that's being given or is this, you know, is a citizen asking the city to help with something. I mean, I don't know what, I can't speak to what is allowed to become public information, like where the public discourse is and the public interest is and where the private one is. So I would assume that that staff didn't include anything that they thought might not be public. Available or was commented at the time that, hey, this is going to be part of the public process.
So her answers to those questions would definitely raise the concerns that you're, but the questions don't raise a privacy. The answers do.
Oh, I don't know.
Right. If she discloses her income, like a tax form, a blank 1040 contains no private information. However, a filled out 1040 is all private information. So that's so. Why don't we have the blank request for information?
But at this point, I need to go all the time, though.
Does that matter?
To Eric's point, I think it's a fair question because her issue is, well, if I would have known that, then I would have done it. Do you know what I mean? But in the interest of moving forward, it's good that this is on record because I think that is valid. However, we do want to move forward.
Absolutely.
So, in the interest of moving forward. Pertaining to just this one piece of it, if the sticking point for you, John, is you want documentation, I think that is totally fair and valid, and you should absolutely have that running a business. You're not just going to take someone's word for it. You've probably had issues in the past, so that's totally fair. And I think that if the agreement tonight could be, and I know this isn't binding, but if it could be that John will apply a reasonable consideration in good faith of this $25, provided that you have legit documentation from her outlining the fixed income. I'm not sure what other expenses that you would want, but I, you know, would counsel her that expenses pertaining to any, you know, she doesn't have childcare expenses, but those sorts of things that pertain to what goes against her fixed income. If you receive that from her, this week, for example, if you could then say here that you're willing to accept this $25 with accurate information, I think that would go a long way to help.
Sure. I would want to know what rights she would be giving up if she accepts, if we accept that tonight.
You don't have to give up any rights. We can table this case.
Okay.
And if you want.
But
that lengthens everything.
Exactly. I would love it if we could, so in your report, or your decision rather, you would say, on this day, John is to receive X, Y, and Z from Sia, and by this day, John makes a decision. If that could be part of the recommendation, I think that would go a long way to resolving this. And I think she has, in the interim, been paying the increased amount. So I want everyone to know that, too. She has been paying the additional $55. So I think it even goes further to say that she can't afford it anymore now that she's even tried to do it. It's just not possible. So I'm wondering if there is something we can put in there about having that refunded once the $25 goes into play. That, of course, is up to John's discretion, but I think that would go a long way into resolving this. She wants to stay in the unit. She likes living here. And I know that she'd rather not live with any more animosity than has already been created. So I think our point is not to table this, but thank you, is to just kind of keep moving forward and getting some sort of resolution in the book so we have somewhere to go, even though it's not binding.
I just want to jump in that related to moving forward, that we are limited in time, so yeah. Just
I have a specific concern about this, is that we're being asked to vote on something which, well, it doesn't matter. We've already discussed the uniqueness of the case, but I'm also concerned because we're being asked to put a lot of hypotheticals and non-binding, binding-sounding language into our agreement, which is not just the money or splitting it into two parts, which we've done before, and I'm concerned about our ability to even do that.
Seems out of scope for us.
Can the attorney speak to that? If it's beyond our scope?
I think you could certainly issue a decision that would have that component. I share your concern that there's a lot of what-ifs in there, and it's a little bit squishy in terms of, you know, when is the decision final. It seems to me that maybe maybe a course of action that you'd want to consider is coming up with a decision so that there is some final decision by this committee tonight, because I'm hearing that's what the tenant representatives would like, but that you're leaving open. I mean, there's nothing that would prevent the interchange that would go on, and if an amicable resolution results, nothing prevents that from happening, but then the committee is sort of done with its work, and the parties are obviously free to negotiate something different than either what the landlord has requested, what the tenant has indicated, or what the committee might come up with.
Okay. And so, Mr. Galeno, as you hear this, so you still have the option, obviously, because this is 5% or lower. Mm-hmm. You obviously have the option to go with the increase that you're seeking. Are you, when you hear us talking about this, would you be comfortable adding the type of language that they're talking about into the agreement that we make, knowing that if it doesn't work out, let's say that the documentation isn't provided, that you still have the right to your rent increase and our decision isn't binding? Does that make sense?
No.
Okay, so any decision that we make, it's a recommendation, but it's not binding.
I understand that part of it.
Right. Okay. So if we, as we make our recommendation, we insert some of the language that was just discussed about providing the documentation, you making maybe perhaps coming to an agreement that's less than yours if the documentation proves a serious burden upon the tenant.
Subject to my review and approval.
Mm-hmm. Right, but you are you comfortable having that kind of language in the agreement that we come up with?
After this, isn't there another appeal process to the board? Is that correct?
Well, we're hoping to avoid that. That's why I ask.
No.
I don't think we need to avoid that, but we just, we would like to come to an agreement here. We can, I mean, that's the point of us being here and going through this
process. Well, it's hard to come to an agreement without the information, and I, myself not arriving here, having verified and gone through the information.
That's true. That's a very good point. And the other thing, alternative, I just want to put out there is that the next, typically we have these meetings monthly, and I understand you don't want to continue to delay this, but this month we happen to be having a meeting on the 22nd, so just in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it would give you an opportunity to work together.
I won't be able to do it that week.
On the 22nd.
Well, and I just want to let you know that there is an option for appeal, but that's not what is being discussed right now. What's being discussed is the option for both parties to come to an agreement regarding a condition about being provided certain documents.
Yeah, very well.
Yeah, I don't want to be going in a circle here.
Yeah.
But I think what I hear is interest of, if you make a recommendation, that can be the final step if parties end up agreeing to it, but if for some reason either party chooses not to agree to it, there can be additional steps, but it's optional to both sides.
You know, I'm not sure I'm understanding this, but I like to be able to think it through, and it seems to me like what we're saying is this, is that we can make a decision, as we would in any case, on what we think a fair rent increase would be. You know, that's an option that we have.
Mm-hmm. Five more minutes, too.
And beyond that, you know, for us to say anything at all about what process you might engage in terms of discussion and working something out between you, that's, you know, that's, you're free to do that in
outside
any case.
This setting, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so really, it really comes down to just whether we would do that, whether we would sit down and have a discussion and make a decision about what we think a fair rent increase would be. I would prefer not to do that at this point. You know, I think that for two reasons. One is it looks as though both parties really would like to have a good relationship. And I think that's been expressed by both.
Sure.
And it seems to me as though the barrier to doing that is pretty low compared to a lot of barriers that we've witnessed. And it just seems to me that's the far preferable outcome, is for the two of you to sit down as you've discussed. And it seems like the constraints are fairly narrow. There's not a lot at issue. You would like to see some evidence of what the tenant's income and expenses are. Possibly, I'm not sure if there's other information, but I get that that's the bulk of it. And you think that the tenant would be able to provide that. And then, John, you could consider what you think, what you're able to do, right? And hopefully you wouldn't be doing this if you didn't think there was some possibility that it could be a better, it could be a lower rent than what your current offer is. Otherwise, right, you'd just be wasting your time. So I trust that that's not what's going on here. So it sounds like you'd really consider it. That's what I would say. I would say, in spite of your concerns, I would say that we should really just not make a decision tonight. We should table it, and we should, if it doesn't work out, and you still would like us, the tenant would still like us to make a decision. Yes, we will. We will, if it doesn't work out. But it doesn't make sense to make one now, for us to say, oh, yeah, we think 5% is the right rent, or we think 2.5% is the right way, because that's going to influence your discussion.
Is that because you don't have enough information before you, or?
Well, we never have enough information. You know, we do the best we can with the information we have. No, the primary reason is because it's more effective for the two of you to have an agreement. Because that's where the life of this relationship is. It's between the two of you. It's not our participation. And if that's possible, that's what I'd like to see.
And again, it's just because we've already gone through iterations and iterations, and this should have been taken care of a while ago.
Sure.
I'm just not sure how much longer it's going to go on.
I share your concern. And I think there's a real issue of, like, was she notified appropriately of this is the only documentation you require? Because the way I'm understanding it is that this is a simple income and expense declaration issue. And
well, she's complained to me about the amount of disclosures and forms she's had to fill out all the way through. And if this was the one piece of paper she actually had to provide, that's frustrating.
And I think it's
frustrating.
She's very, I mean, having had a lot of experience with, you know, social services and the way that they disperse income, it's very easy to provide that.
Well, that's why I'm saying if some third party can help you to resolve, you know, the blurs and bumps that have happened in the way.
And I guess it's just a willingness. Obviously, we're willing. And I just, in the interest of her health, I mean, she had a not to disclose too much, but she had a big appointment yesterday, and this is negatively affecting her health in a huge way, just the stressor of this ongoing. I think we can all understand what that must be like for someone who's already had a compromised immune system, and this is just more than she can handle, which is obviously why we're here. And if you want to work with us further, but in a finite amount of time, not forever, just to kind of get this income and expense declaration situation handled, and then in good faith continue to negotiate with us. It sounds like you're willing to look at that.
Us mean you instead of Sia?
Sure.
I'd rather deal with Sia directly. She is my new public. We can do it in private as a tenant and a landlord.
I think that the difficulty is that there's so much emotion wrapped up that that's hard for her. And obviously there was a very simple request that you had that the barrier between the two of you was insurmountable. And this rather simple, straightforward piece of information that you wanted to ask her for, that piece of information couldn't get through there. And I think that perhaps the prerequisite of that information to having a third party is a serious barrier. And perhaps a third party, such as what is happening right now, and all of a sudden it's on the table and everybody all of a sudden knows the one piece of information that had to be provided, that could have happened months ago with a third party then meeting without prerequisite, without any...
Great. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. We just need to acknowledge that there's...
Emil doesn't sound like he's comfortable making a decision at this point. Can I have your thoughts on it?
I feel like that's the reason that we're here, and so I will be happy to. I feel like both parties are asking us to make a decision. So.
Okay. Chris?
I mean, I'd prefer not to make a decision just because it sounds like the parties want to work together, but I also agree with Tina that it's the reason we're here, and unfortunately I'd rather issue a decision and then have the two parties work it out afterwards if they want to come to a decision contrary to what we've issued or decided on. I also think it makes it a lot simpler, and they don't have to come back here and after if they've worked something out and it goes to the $25, I think it makes it easier on everybody if we just make a recommendation tonight and the two parties hopefully in good faith can work together afterwards.
Okay, so yeah, let's... I just want quickly, I'm going to deal directly with C outside of here with no intermediaries.
So that's a huge sticking point for us.
It is?
Yeah. She feels that there should be a mediator. I think that's what she's wanted this whole time, just for her own personal health. And, you know, being in her state.
Well, I would have to talk to the person. The person would have to talk to her. And then she would have to talk to the person. The person would talk to me.
Yeah.
And, the person.
We could conference, Skype. I think.
Can I just jump in, too?
Yes.
But you're requesting our documents. So it seems to me that you can review the documents.
And if I have any questions, I can go through a mediator to verify the information.
Well, I think the point is that...
Or
can I contact her directly?
Well, you
can I jump in? Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. So this, I feel like this discussion is something that's best left outside.
Exactly.
Let's do our part right here.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then we'll let you folks hammer out this on your own.
Thank you.
Because this is beyond what we're able to
do. Great. Right. Thanks so much.
So I would also like to continue to make a decision. It sounds like that's what was asked of us from the tenant, and I definitely hear Milt's concerns, and I share them, but I think the interest of the tenant who brought this here outweighs our own concerns, so hers outweighs mine. So if we could amongst ourselves discuss what we think would be an appropriate...
Okay, so the ground rules for this particular, we're changing the dynamics.
Yeah, so now we're changing the dynamics. Now we're going to be putting on our voting hats and not.
Well, I just have to say one thing. I'm sorry. Here's what I think is going to happen. If we make a decision, the rent increase is going to be 5%. If we don't make a decision, we don't know what the rent increase is going to be. It might be lower. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the decision we're making by making this decision. That's what I think.
I don't disagree.
So if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think the outcome is. That's why I prefer not to make a decision. But Do you have a different understanding of it?
I have a different understanding because the tenant has expressed the
Well, let's ask the tenants right now. Do you want us to make a decision?
Well, not if it's going to be 5%.
No, I'm not saying ours. I'm not saying, let me clarify that. I don't mean that our decision would be 5%.
Oh, what I mean is,
no matter what we decide,
I understand what you're saying.
If we decided 1%, it'll be 5%.
I understand what you're saying now. I thought you were.
Because the only way that it's going to be lower than 5% is if the landlord has authority.
You are correct. I understand now. Okay.
If it's his choice.
Correct.
So I love your recommendation and your thoughts, I guess, is that what you're asking? I'd love to.
Do you want us to make a decision? That's what I'm asking.
I think we came in here asking for a decision.
Yes, please.
I think you guys are reading what the tenant is asking for correctly. I hear what you're saying.
Other cases but tonight.
Yeah.
So for those of us who are volunteers with children at home, put some parameters around this, please.
Thank you.
Yes. So let's make a decision if we can. Tina, your thoughts?
Sure. So I reviewed the case and I've listened to both parties today. I'm sympathetic to both parties. I can certainly see that, you know, we're between a rock and a hard place here. It's clearly a very difficult situation for the tenant. On the other hand, I see that the landlord this is not a terrible landlord. This is the guy who's has a history of like reasonable rent increases. In fact, really, really modest rent increases, and there's maintenance that's being done, and I feel like 5% it's a $55 increase. I can see that it's very difficult for this tenant, and there's certain people with restricted incomes, and it's very difficult, but just East Bay mud alone last year, the expenses because of the drought, I mean, the prices are really, really high, and it's difficult considering all the information that we see here, financial information that the landlord has provided, to for me to recommend anything less than the 5% that he's requesting.
Okay. Chris? I'm going to answer for Camille, because I think he's going to be polar opposite of Tina.
Okay.
So let's do that first.
The polar opposite. I also think both parties have a valid. My only concern about the landlord's interest is that, part of the justification for the rent increase is a contingency fund for the eviction reserve. And frankly, I think that that's quite a good reason for an increase, because I think there is an additional expense because of the eviction fees that have been created by the ordinance. Mm-hmm. I don't think that your calculation is correct, though. I don't think that. It's correct to assume that all tenants will eventually be evicted, nor do I think that, that's my major concern about that. Yeah, I'm not sure what time frame you have of that being collected over, but
it's 5 years.
Over 5 years?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a reasonable assumption, but...
Can I just add a quick footnote for the reasoning behind that?
Yeah.
I guess not. It's not
no,
open anymore. No, sorry.
So, on the other hand, I think that I think 5% is more than the increase of expenses for landlords in general. I think that 5% increases are difficult to justify, and it really requires some extraordinary conditions. And I think it's important in looking at a landlord spreadsheet that we not include the mortgage expenses as part of the operating expenses. And because, you know, mortgages can be, we don't know what choices a landlord's making, you know, in terms of mortgages, whether they're taking money out of their building and then asking for the tenants to pay for that. And so I don't think that's justified. So I don't think a 5% increase is justified by the information that the landlord has provided, and I think the information that the tenant has provided, taken in good faith, shows that it really is a hardship to pay this increase. So I would favor a 3% increase.
Chris?
Okay. So that's why I had milk. So I'm with Tina on this one. I definitely understand the heart of it, and I don't understand it, because I'm not going through it. So I understand the hardship that, I don't even know if I understand.
You appreciate
it. I appreciate it. Thank you. I recognize that there's a hardship that the tenant is facing. And it's a very real hardship. But in this case, I'm second guessing. Hold off. I'm going to let you go as I push.
Okay, so here are my thoughts. I'm going to take both the tenant and the landlord at their word. That's what they just said, right? That the tenant is unable to pay anything more than the 2.5% that she asked. That the 5% that she's already been paying is financially impossible to continue. And that the landlord is more than willing to look at his 5% if he sees the documentation, and that the tenant will most certainly provide that documentation because she cannot afford anything else. So, that being said, I think the 2.5% should go forward because if I heard correctly, both parties can agree to that if the documentation is provided. I will let them work that out. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't because they both said that they would. So, I don't want to get in the way of their agreement, and I think the 2.5% should be our vote.
So I'm going to go off what Tina said earlier, and I'm actually changing my opinion a little bit. I appreciate what the landlord has done and the reasonable rent increases that have been provided in the past, and I think it's very important that you do provide reasonable rent increases, and that this has been triggered by the tenant rather than the landlord, because that's the reason we have this ordinance, is to prevent just obscene rent increases that we've seen sitting here. And while I appreciate it's 5%, I'm going to recommend a lower one, even though it's completely within your right to do 5%, to encourage the discussion outside of here. Not that I don't think you'll do it. I believe that there will be a good effort between both parties to resolve this. And if you do determine that the 2.5 is unreasonable after seeing her income statement, then again, our decision isn't binding and it's your right to do as you see fit. But I hope to take the tenant at their word that 2.5 is the most they can reasonably afford. And barring you finding that not reasonable to you, do what you see fit. So after that long-winded ramble, I'm going to recommend 2.5%.
Okay, so we've got 2.5, 2.5, 3, 5.
Can I just jump in again? What the tenant requested is $25, which is equal to about 2.3%.
Okay,
so if we could talk in dollars instead of percents, because also the difference between what the landlord is requesting and what the tenant says she can afford is $30.
Right.
I think that'll be helpful if we stick to
that. Thank you. Sorry, $25 is what, which $25 is what the tenant requested, which is 2.3%. And you know, I think we have to kind of take people at their word. I think most people are good for their word, and I think I heard correctly. I make a motion to vote. My motion is a $25 rent increase, which would be 2.3%.
Could you clarify, do you mean that to become effective for the upcoming month, for March, or would that be recommending retroactive from December?
I am not recommending any retroactive payments. That's something that they can work out themselves. I'm recommending a $25 rent increase to become effective March 1st. All those in favor?
I second that motion. Okay. And then now we vote. Oh, and I'm Chris Griffiths.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Is that a no vote?
No.
Okay.
No.
It passes.
It passes.
Okay. Okay, so the next step here is that you're done here today. Staff will send you a letter to confirm what your next options are, because there isn't an agreement today. So
there is not.
Right. There's not. So then there's a follow-up from staff to confirm a timeline where we either will have an agreement from you on the recommendation. You'll have the ability to make your own agreement, or either party does have an option to appeal. So I'll just lay that all out in writing so you'll have it for yourself.
And everyone is notified by mail.
We have mail for addresses for both. We have email for the tenant, but not for the letter. Okay, I will be providing for email for the tenant. Great, and thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. So,
typically we take a break between cases, but I'm not sure where you guys are at.
I actually do need a break. Can we have a recess for 5 minutes, please?
Thank you.
Thank you.
You went into recess?
Okay.
You went into recess?
5 minutes.
So I'm gonna go. Can you? Thanks for the water.
Yay. That's a leak. Well, that's if I can answer.
These are so interesting. Well, it's learning. It's learning. You know, you engage, you learn. You make mistakes. Sure. We're not perfect.
Lord knows I'm not. Are we set? We're ready? Does anyone else want to take a break real quick?
No, no, I think 5 minutes is up.
Yeah.
All right.
No.
God.
3.
Okay, we're gonna restart. Does it have to get? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next case, number 653, 43 Sandpiper Place.
Yes, no, actually by the committee tonight for that case because the parties came to an agreement between 0 and 5%.
Okay. 0 and 5%. Okay. Moving on. We have... case number 683, 871 Oak Street.
That case will not be reviewed tonight. It's being postponed until the next available meeting.
Okay. Case 655.
So we do have the landlord present, so if you want to just call up the landlord for the case, you have the slip right there.
Does she have to come up if the tenant is not here?
Yeah, I guess you don't have to come up.
Katie, do you want to? You want to come up? You can. You're more than welcome to.
I guess we always want to make an announcement that if there is any tenants present for any of the other cases, but I don't see anybody in the audience. So because there's no other tenants present for any cases listed on the agenda, there will be no action by the committee. I was going to give a summary for cases that we do know the result of. There's 6 pending ones that we don't know the result of, but there is no comment needed from the landlord. But yes. I wanted to invite you up if you did want to make comment on any of the cases that are unresolved.
Not that you have to, but you're more than welcome to.
We have come to an agreement on a tour. We offered a reduction in...
We would get to those. I have to state what happened with each one. So if you wanted to make the announcement on the ones that are on the list, is that how you want?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm just gonna be a little bit of going through the actions.
Okay.
One minute.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
I appreciate
it. Okay. So Brendan, you had stated the next case on the
Case 655.
Yeah, UAA 101. This case is not going to be reviewed tonight because the tenant gave written confirmation they will be moving out of the unit.
Okay. Next is
I'm sorry. The tenant gave written confirmation that they're moving out of the unit. Okay. And this will all be made available online, this full summary that will be provided.
Okay.
We'll be inviting.
Next case, 656, unit A102, 300 West Line.
This case will not be reviewed. The tenant confirmed they'll be moving out of the unit.
Okay. Case number 657, 300 West Line Drive, unit A112.
There is already an agreement between 0 and 5%.
Okay. Case 659, 310 Westline Drive, Unit B207.
The tenant is going to be moving out, so there will be no review.
Okay. Case 660, 310 Westline Drive, Unit B213.
The tenant again is going to be moving out, so no review.
Case 661, 310 Westline Drive, Unit B315.
There's an agreement already between 0 and 5%, so no review.
Okay. Case 663, 330 Westline Drive, Unit B329.
An agreement is made between the tenant already and landlord between 0 and 5%.
Okay. Case 664, 344 Westline Drive, Unit C115.
So the tenant's not present, so there will be no action, and the offer... the rent increases made by the landlord stands. I don't know if you had an update you wanted to share.
I'm sorry, real quick. Could you repeat that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
There is nothing in writing we have, so this is unresolved.
Okay.
But because the tenant's not here, the offers the landlord made for the two different rent increases remain allowable.
Okay.
We've reached out to this tenant several times and have not heard back.
Okay. So, stands. Okay. Case number 665-344 West Line Drive, Unit C119.
This is unresolved, but the tenant's not here, so both offers for rent increase at month-to-month rates and 12-month rates are allowable.
Okay. Case 666, 344 West Line Drive, Unit C223.
This is unresolved as well, and the tenant's not here, so both options of the rent increase are allowable.
Okay. Could I ask a question about these?
Yes.
Last three cases. This is actually to Jennifer.
Yeah.
Some of the tenants had said that they were going to be here tonight. Did you get communication from them between this afternoon and this meeting as to if
so
they could not
come? So we are in communication in that we send letters to the tenants, and then sometimes the tenants contact us, and then we send. Anyways, several tenants have had questions, but just one said they have since been in communication with their landlord. The other tenant, we haven't heard from that, had reached out to us.
Okay.
We have heard from them as well, though.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they had informed us that they were in discussions and that they wanted to reach out to us for a resolution, which we provided, and we felt like it was well received.
Okay. Do you know, was the resolution between 0 and 5%?
No.
It was higher.
Well, it depends. So for the month-to-month rate, it was a reduction from 26% down to a 15% increase for the month-to-month option.
Okay, 15% from month-to-month. Okay, thank you.
Which was their request.
Their request,
yes.
Okay. Case 668909 Sherpoint Court, Unit D214.
And this one has written confirmation. There's already an agreement between 0 and 5%.
Okay. Case 669909 Shorepoint Court, Unit D216.
This one has an agreement already between 0 and 5%.
Okay. Case 670909 Shorepoint Court, Unit D316.
This will not be reviewed tonight. The tenant confirmed they'll be moving out of the unit.
Okay. Case 672915 Shorepoint Court, Unit E230.
This tenant and landlord provided information that's already in agreement between 0 and 5%.
Okay. Case 673915 Shorepoint Court, Unit E309.
And this also has an agreement already between 0 and 5%.
Okay. Case 675941 Shorepoint Court, Unit F203.
So this one is unresolved from our end, that we don't have anything in writing, but the tenant is not present, so the rent increase requests from the landlord are allowable.
And again, we've made several attempts to contact them. Their lease doesn't expire until the end of February, so sometimes we see like a lag in response because they have still 25 days to come in.
Okay. Case 676941 Shorepoint Court, Unit F303.
This one's unresolved, but the tenant's not here, so the request from the landlord will be allowable.
And we've also not heard from that neighbor as well.
Okay. Case 677941 Shorepoint Court, Unit F328.
No action or review because the tenant confirmed they'll be moving out.
Moving out, okay. Case 679937 Shorepoint Court, Unit G201.
The tenant confirmed they'll be moving out.
Moving out. Okay. Case 680937 Shorepoint Court, Unit G308.
We didn't receive anything in writing from the tenant, but the tenant's not here. Both offers will stay allowable.
And we have been in communication with these neighbors and believe we've come to an agreement today.
Okay. So. Is that between 0 and 5%?
So the month-to-month rate was the rate that they had requested for us to review because they're in limbo. So they were not contesting or questioning the 5%, but requested for reduction in the month-to-month, which we provided.
Okay. And case 681937, Shore Point Court, Unit G314.
This case came to an agreement between 0 and 5%, so that will be tonight. Did you have any other comments as well?
No, I appreciate you guys very much for coming once a month.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate hearing about your willingness to accommodate.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that's our initial intention is to resolve it.
Yeah.
And anyone who comes to us that initiates any type of review, we review it internally. So it gives us an opportunity to resolve it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to agenda item 7Y, to discuss our attendance at the March 7th City Council meeting, but...
So I have an update on that?
Yeah, I thought so.
So, of course, things are shifting, so that meeting is being postponed. It won't be in March. It's looking like it may be in April, so... we don't need to discuss this item.
Okay. But I would maybe like to discuss it a little bit beyond the date. So this is when the housing authority is, and the program administrators are making our recommendations our recommendations to the City Council regarding the RAC process. And we had gone over that in our last meeting. I think it would be helpful if we make ourselves available, if possible. I know everyone's very busy, and this is already a large commitment. I'm going to be there because I'd like to present our recommendations personally. I think it's important, and I think we've worked really hard on them and put a lot of thought into them. But if you folks would like to be there, I think it would also be helpful. I did tell Trish that she came last time, and I really appreciated that. But I also communicated to the other council members, including the new ones, you know, this is so important, right? And it takes up so much oxygen within their lives, as well it should, that I think it's important that they know what goes on here. So I really like them to come here and see what happens. But if they either can't or won't do that, then I think that we should go to this, if possible.
I'm happy to go.
Yeah. I don't think we know yet, right?
We don't know yet.
I'm happy, though, that it was rescheduled because...
Yes, moving too fast.
Well, March 7th is the best week of the year to go to Death Valley. Because the weather, it's going to be clear weather, and the wildflowers are blooming.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest wildflower bloom in the world.
You can go. You don't have to worry about going to the council.
I guess there's still a council meeting, though.
There
will be.
Okay.
Okay, well, staff will keep you updated about when that meeting is scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have questions, you can ask
them. And another thing, are we going to be able to review the final documentation that you send to the City Council?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So.
The way that it's currently, is that I spoke with Claudia and Jennifer about it, and have written up what I understood it to be. I can present that, or I will make that what I understood your action to be, so you can take a look at it to make sure it reflects accurately what would be presented to the council. I mean, it's not going to be three pages. It's going to be, I think it's roughly four or five lines of each of your items dealing with the professional mediation, having the 5% or less being binding, and there's a third item that now I'm drawing a blank on.
But we can send it over.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that everyone on this council gets enough time to see the final document and make any kind of concerns and or thank you very much is available within time to make any revisions if need be.
I want the agenda item to, I want the material in the agenda item to be accurate and reflect what the committee's thoughts were. Again, it will be in synopsis form, but I want to make sure I get that right.
Okay.
So we'll share
thanks.
That.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, it's since we're talking about our recommendations, this case that we just heard is very germane to the recommendation that, and I would have taken on a very different tone if we had been able to make a binding decision.
I think so.
Right, so there's no action required for this item.
Right.
We will follow up with providing the recommendation we have already written to all staff members, and then staff will also let you know when the date will be for that meeting.
Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts on that? No. Okay. Item number 8, public comment for non-agenda items.
So I just wanted to allow Angie to say anything if you wanted to. I know people have now left me.
Oh, yeah. I should have changed the schedule. I'm sorry. The agenda.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'll speak to whoever's here. My name is Angie Watson-Hodgson, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm the Fair Housing Coordinator at Echo Housing, and we are the Fair Housing Agency that provides a couple of programs here in Alameda. We provide fair housing services, so we investigate discrimination complaints in housing, and we do mediations and education for landlords and tenants about fair housing law, what's legal, what's not. We also have a tenant landlord department that deals with things around increases and repair issues and maintenance and unlawful entry and all that kind of stuff. So we, sometimes I know people come to the meetings and they want to talk about repair issues and the RAC doesn't deal with that, but we can. So there are things that we can provide services for that this body can't. So we work together in conjunction and we also do some rental assistance stuff too. People need help with their deposits and the labor permit, so we're able to help with that sometimes if the funding is there. So I just wanted to let you guys know Echo Housing is here, or your fair housing agency, so let us know if you have issues around fair housing, another tenant, and we'd be happy to provide help for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Angie. Okay. Number 9 on the agenda, matters initiated.
Staff doesn't have any matters to initiate, but if you had anything
for help. I think that was public comment.
Yeah, we have speakers.
Ms. Edwards was the landlord representative, and then this was John was the other one. That's it. Yeah. Right? There's no other public comment, correct? No. Okay. I actually do have something that I wanted to put on the agenda for a future meeting.
Okay.
So in the last meeting that we had, I think there was, that I'm sure you saw from the notes, I think there were some pretty fair critiques of our process.
The meeting that Chris and I didn't attend.
Correct, but they're definitely, well, you can check the audio and
it's,
yeah, and the meeting minutes obviously are there, and the correspondence that we received earlier in the week, I think that there was some fair criticisms in there. I would like a discussion about how we interpret the ordinance, and I would like input from the city attorney because I think that we all do our best, but that our intuition and our experience is not enough when the public is looking for standard operating procedure about a law. And I know that the law can be very ambiguous and vague, and that's part of its strength, but I think that it's also part of its weakness. So I would like a discussion to be added, if not to this next meeting, then maybe the one after that, about nailing down some of the requirements of this committee under the law and how we interpret certain data.
Okay, so I just want to clarify, what I hear is that you'd like there to be a specific time on the agenda set for the members to talk about criteria to make sure it's standardized, that each case is reviewed in that way, and prior to that meeting you would like some guidance from the city attorney's office that maybe it's something that either said or a document that you're all looking at during that meeting.
Yeah, and also because when we... maybe also a discussion of scenarios. Today maybe is a good example of what happens when, even though I read through all the documentation and I did have a phone call with Jennifer, I still had questions about whether can we do this? Are we supposed to be doing this? What's the process? And I could think in previous meetings where there were scenarios where I wasn't 100% sure about what the process was and if we were doing it correctly. We still did it anyway, but I don't know if people left here satisfied.
So just so I understand as well, you would like the city attorney to be present at that meeting because you have questions?
Yes.
You have questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've heard the comments made, and I appreciate the comments coming from the committee, and I have already drafted out sort of an outline of what I could present to you, to get it to you ahead of time so you can kind of see what I'm thinking, and that'll at least give you an opportunity to look at it ahead of time, and that can at least provide a framework for the discussion. And I think that, you know, that would be helpful. Certainly, you know, given the nature of what you're doing, I don't know you're ever going to be able to come up with, you know, standards or mm-hmm. you know, always be able to apply the same factors to each and every situation, but perhaps a little more of a framework would be helpful to the committee. Try to provide that.
Since you're bringing it up, I think it's a great idea. Can you? But I was wondering if you could give some examples of some of the issues that you're thinking of.
Sure. When you brought up in the last meeting that the actual language of the ordinance in respect to our responsibility to consider the cost that the landlord uh-huh. brings forward. Uh-huh. I would like the committee to discuss that because we have always interpreted the data as, you know, what's fair, or not the data, the law is like what's fair, you know, on both sides, or do we apply market rate or do we not? And if you look at the ordinance, it says, the instructions they give, or maybe the intent that the ordinance has, is maybe counter to what we thought it was, or we're implying, or we're substituting our own, or at least I have, I think, sometimes substitute my own interpretation without really even looking at the text of the ordinance itself. And then I'm not saying that we come to an agreement on what it means, because I think that's maybe not possible, but that we actually look at the text of the ordinance and try to at least get a better understanding.
Mm-hmm. So issues about the landlord's right to make a profit from his investment, right?
And not just the right to make
rape. Right.
Or,
okay.
Yeah.
And is there anything else? Is that the main issue? Or were you thinking of other things?
The,
I think at all, actually. I think it's a good idea if we put it on the table.
The tenant's responsibility today, especially, it made me really think about it. Like, well, what does the law or what does the ordinance say? I mean, because we require that somebody from the landlord's side be here. But
well, the tenant is actually required to be here.
Yeah.
Outside of a reasonable accommodation.
Right. Oh, is that in the ordinance?
Well,
that's the law.
What law?
That if...
the
public is allowed to have a reasonable accommodation if they have a disability.
The tenant does not have to be physically present if the tenant can show good cause why the tenant cannot be present. Reasonable, you know, because of a person's disability or for some other reason, that would be good cause.
Yeah. No, I'm just asking what the basis of that is.
The same does apply to the landlord.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that earlier, but I wasn't quite sure.
Actually, the answer is yes to a certain extent. If the person, say if the landlord were out of town, for example, then the item would be, you know, continued until the landlord could get back. If you had a landlord who truly, you know, had a condition that prevented the landlord from attending, the answer would be yes. That person would submit a reasonable accommodation request, could be evaluated, and would be treated the same, certainly.
Okay. And perhaps we could also discuss whether there's some questions we shouldn't be asking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that a reasonable thing for us to talk about?
Yes.
Yes. But also, I think just to your point too, Brandon, about maybe kind of just keeping some metrics. So if we have like a distillation of the ordinance, then we can kind of keep track and we can kind of make sure that.
What do you mean?
There's details, there's data that clearly the landlord can provide, but sometimes doesn't. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for the tenant. The tenant can provide financial information or not. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice if we, if we had some sort of standard method. We could each have our own sort of document where we can kind of go through and mm-hmm. see what information we did use to mm-hmm. factor into mm-hmm. our decision making. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It might help to kind of sort of standardize this process a little bit. Well, based
that
on
was the discussion you brought up as well in the last one, you know, because mm-hmm. you're
no, I understand. I'm just asking. Yeah. You know, okay. So I understand. I understand what you said. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's especially important because we're short a member. So mm-hmm. while for the most part we haven't been super consistent, but we've had some semblance of consistency as, you know, members leave and new members come. It would be nice to have some process that can be used. So as we change. So then the committee doesn't change by the makeup of the committee. Obviously it will, but we don't want drastic changes just because someone left and was
right.
replaced.
Folks who come here, the public deserves to have a reasonable expectation about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to reiterate, if you have other ideas or thoughts or you come up with some sort of metric that you think makes sense, you can email them to us and then we'll make sure they get distilled and distributed.
Okay.
So how much time, what do you think from what we're talking about? Are we talking about a half hour that could be added on to another meeting or a special meeting?
I think what we should probably do is take a look at what the agenda is going to look like at your first meeting in March, and mm-hmm. If you don't have, you know, a slew of cases, put it on then, get it on as quickly as we can, but mm-hmm. obviously the committee needs to deal with the folks out there first. But I think the discussion would warrant a half an hour. I mean, I think to be fair, that would be.
Okay, so we'll just leave it to staff to schedule whatever time you think is.
Yeah, and we'll do our best to get it on for the first meeting in March.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good point.
Any other matters initiated? No. Okay. In which case, let's adjourn. The time is 8:14 p.m. Thank you very much. Adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everyone.